Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, thank you. Yay for being here for all of us. Happy first Sunday of Advent, or Happy New Year. It's a new day, a new season, and it's an exciting one to be together. And we welcome you, especially if you are visitors here or online with us. And we invite all of you to fill out the connection cards that you will find in your bulletin. I also invite you to read the announcements to see all the things that are going on in our congregation, with our mission and our ministry. There are so many ways to plug in. We hope that you will find at least one that feels like your place. We also have Advent devotional booklets available for you to start this season and live through this season in your own home, in your with your household. You can find hard copies of the devotional at the ministry stations, but we also have digital copies available if you would rather read on your phone, your tablet, your laptop. You can email me and I will send you the digital copy. Please, also, our stewardship campaign, our stewardship focus, officially wrapped up in terms of our focus in worship last Sunday. But we still hope to receive your pledges for the coming year for funding our various ministries. Because we know we are living into a future with hope, and our financial commitments are an expression of our own hope. So our goal is to receive the remaining pledges by next Sunday. So give some thought and prayer to what your giving commitment might be for the coming year, and you can turn that in anytime, and we'll be happy to receive it. Now I invite you to join with me in our responsive call to worship. Listen, the word of God is speaking. We listen, we watch, we wait with hope. Come, Lord Jesus.
Thank you. friend. Let us pray. Dear God, make your presence known to us. We want to share in your love and in your creation. Help us to set aside the daily rush of our lives, to become still and in the moment, so that we may hear and understand your word. Guide us to live as you would have us live, to love and respect one another. Make us your light as we go out into the world. Amen. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." For the sake of the house of the Lord, our God, I will seek your good. Thank you. the Old Testament reading. The word that Isaiah, son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In the days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and shall be raised above the hills. All the nations shall stream to it. Many peoples shall come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that we may teach his ways and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth instruction and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and shall arbitrate for many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore." The word of the Lord.
Kiddos, you can come up with me. Go this way. Good, come have a seat. Presley, good, come on around. I have a question for you. Have you ever tapped an adult and said, "Hey, watch me. Hey, watch me." She does it all the time. "Hey, Finnegan, come join us." Yeah, maybe if Piper's wanting to do a cool cartwheel or some kind of flip, she'll say, "Hey, watch me." Sometimes when you create something beautiful, come on up. Sometimes when you create something beautiful, you might say, "Hey, look, would you look at this?" Have you ever done that before? Yeah. I know you create beautiful creations. Yeah, so we hear this today. At the very beginning, we started church by saying, "Look, listen." And right away I thought, "Oh, kids are so good at getting our attention for things like this," right? We might say, "Hey, look, look." And you know what? My kids are good at saying, "Hey, I asked you to look and I can tell you're not looking." Yeah, sometimes they say that by saying it again. "Hey, look." And you know what? Sometimes I say to children, "Hey, Anna, look at my eyes." And that's usually my invitation to say, "I've got something really important to share with you. Teresa's looking at my eyes." Sometimes that helps us if we look at each other's eyes or if we get our bodies calm. Sometimes it helps us to listen if we are moving our bodies. All different ways. But today, in this beginning of a new church year, Advent, it is about looking and listening. Do you see anything different in the space today? What do you see that's different, Anna? Trees! Trees! Yeah. Simeon, do you see something different? Finnegan, come sit by me. Come sit by me. Oh, the candles. I noticed that many of you were watching as the candles were lit. Yeah, there was movement, new movement in the space. Yeah, what did you notice, Lucas? The new banners are purple. Yeah, purple. Piper, what did you notice that's different? There are new greens in the space. Yeah, cool. You might hear something. We just sang that "O Come, Emmanuel" song. We're going to hear that every Sunday. So you might listen for that next week. See if you notice that tune next week. So this is a season, an invitation to look and to listen. Imagine God doing what you're so good at. Imagine God tapping you on the arm. "Hey, look, listen. Hey." And then maybe God says, "Hey, I mean it. Look, listen. Hey, will you watch me? Pay attention." And you might hear new things about the story of Jesus and Jesus' love for you. You might see new things as you watch the stories unfold during Advent. So, can we commit together to looking and to listening? Let's do it. Can you do this around your eyes? Let's pray. Jesus, help us look. And help us listen. Can you put your hands behind your ears? Help us listen too. Yes, help us look, help us listen. Ooh, and may we do good waiting while we look and listen. Amen. Let's walk together to church school.
Will you pray with me? Loving God, we are here, yearning for what we cannot name. We are here, looking for what we cannot see. We are here, hoping for what we cannot yet comprehend. We are here waiting for you. Sometimes we tell ourselves other stories about what we want or what we need or what we're looking for. We live our lives with a sense of urgency and distraction and worry that pushes and pulls us in too many different directions. But in these moments, on this first day of Advent, we face the truth. We are looking for you. You are the substance of our hope. In that hope, we pray for your healing and your redemption for our hurting world. We pray for our nation and its leaders, for our community, our congregation, our families, ourselves. We pray for the epidemic of violence in our country and for all who live under the threat of violence. We pray your grace over all that is broken in our world and in our lives. We pray for your light, for your wisdom, for your care. We pray for your Spirit to fill us with the conviction and the courage to do what is right and what is needed in times like these. And we pray your tender care for those we name before you now, for the family and friends of Vern Jensen, for Mary Margaret Hatt, Bob Shannon, Esther Floyd, Marilyn Marsh, Laura Parmalee, Maria Pierantozzi, Sandra DeLine, Mrs. Essie Slaughter, Ulysses Slaughter Jr., Allison Lovell, Mia Germano, Tom and Terry Rubenstein, John Rowe, Faye Key, Leah Grange, Randy Shedd, Chris Ledyard Argus. And we offer you the deep, private prayers of our own hearts in silence. Gracious God, we have come looking for you. Grant that we might see again that you have come looking for us. Renew our faith, renew our vision, renew our lives, and come to us even now. We are waiting for you. Come, Lord Jesus, we need you. We pray all these things in the strong and precious name of Jesus, who taught us how to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
A reading now from Paul's letter to the believers in Rome. Besides this, you know what time it is. How it is now the moment for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first became believers. The night is far gone. The day is near. Let us then lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us live honorably as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in debauchery and licentiousness, not in quarreling and in jealousy. Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. The word of the Lord. When our boys were about 6 years old, I drove them one morning, many, many mornings actually, but one day when I was driving them to their first grade of elementary school, I heard the voice of one of them from the back seat saying, What if it's all a dream? I said, what? And he repeated it. What if all of it is a dream? I said, what if all of what is a dream? And he replied, my life. What if I actually have a different life, some other place, and I'm dreaming this one? Kid was 6 years old. And maybe it is a question worth asking. I have asked it along these lines. Every day, you get up, you put yourself together as you can, you eat something, then you do your work, you see some people, you interact, look at screens, you see the news, always the same, you eat more, you clean up, you watch something, you go to bed, you get up tomorrow, and do it all over again. And what if the boy's suspicion is right, that we are kind of dreaming our way through it all? A loop of unreal images passed through but not lived. The clock of the real world ticking away while we drift through what we unbelievably and mistakably think of as our life. Wake up. I've always wanted to do that while preaching. And it's a guy named Paul who says it. Wake up. He's talking to people who don't know they're asleep. Wake up. Do you know what time it is? It's time to wake up. We open our eyes then and see that it is dark. Really, really dark. Go back to bed, Paul. It's the middle of the night, and Paul says, yeah, it's the night. But much of the night is gone now. The night, in his words, is far spent. Wake up. What's this about? What is meant here by night, by the darkness that envelops us as we sleep and dream? This is the thick, smothering darkness of all that is not right. The darkness of pain. All the dark of what is unjust and hateful and ignorant and meaningless, joyless, loveless. The darkness of a world half in love with death. The darkness that is the abyss of the absence of God, or so it may feel to us. And it's the terror of knowing that all such darkness, any of it, may not only surround us, but be within us. So close your eyes. Close your eyes to all of that. Close your eyes and drift away. You may not even know that you're doing it. Now, Paul is persistent. Pokes us in the ribs. Wake up. The night is far spent. The day is near. It is time right now to be conscious, alert, awake, and alive to what is real, what is the truest of what is the most real. So get up, gorgeous, and get dressed. The light that's coming wants your eyes open and your life awake. I don't know about you, but I'm not a big fan of starting my day in the wee hours when it's not just dark, but there's a whole lot of dark yet to come. Many people have to do it. Thank goodness they do. Farmers, doctors, plenty of nurses and teachers and factory workers and parents of young children. They have to be up and at them in the wee hours. But you morning people who just naturally roll out of bed and before dawn, a long time before, are ready for the day, ready to talk. I salute you and I admire you, and I'm very sure that we are not of the same species. I am a snooze bar dependent person. Jim Gaffigan said of hitting the snooze bar, "As my first decision of the day, I will go back to bed." And of course, there is a spiritual version of that. There is a mental, emotional, relational version of this. We have felt some urging of the Spirit. Something someone said, or something that just rose unbidden within us, or something that our weariness finally led us to know needs to happen, this urging to make some change, to do some new thing, to fulfill some needed task, to venture some new step in faith. And we mean to do it, we really mean to. But it is so warm and comfortable leading a drowsy, passive life. So we hit the snooze button on the Spirit's voice. And what we knew to do, what we even wanted to do, we did not. Augustine, in his Confessions, wrote this, and it's in the form of a prayer. "By the burdens of this world, I was sweetly weighed down, as a person often is in sleep. I had no answer to give to you when you said to me, 'Rise, you who sleep, rise from the dead, and Christ will enlighten you.' I had no answer to make but only those slow and drowsy words, 'Right away, right away, let me alone for a while.' But 'right away' was never 'right now.'" It is the saddest thing to be given an unrepeatable human life and to go through it in a kind of haze and numbness, an existence that is unresponsive, that cannot imagine, that cannot choose or will not choose life. Existence spent as a kind of sleepwalking, possibilities passed by, opportunities left forfeit, relationships unnurtured, sins undealt with, wounds untouched. Relationships dying, miracles unnoticed, the soul dull, withered. I think there's no reason to look for casting blame here. I think the world itself lays upon us enough by way of experience, by way of observation, by way of society itself, the ground of which is littered with sleepers. No need to cast blame necessarily on the self. There's blame enough to go round for our unawakened living. But do understand that we were made to live a fully awakened life, a life responsive, imaginative, a life of choosing with strong and life-giving choices, a life alertness to the presence of God and all else that is holy. In our text, the image of waking up is especially about being ready for and receptive to the coming of Christ, who long ago was born in Bethlehem, and who in great mystery will come to all creation at the end of time as we have known it, and who has promised to come to us here in our living, regularly in our interactions with one another, in our worship, in our work, in our being, coming to surprise us if we are awake enough to look and listen to Christ's presence with us again. For us to be living awakened lives is to be attuned and welcoming to the visitations of divine love among us every day, and to live in such a way that is reflective of that love every day, as if any day could be the day of ultimate healing and redemption. How do we get there? How do we become better attuned and awaken to the visitations of divine love? Paul gives a surprising answer. He says, get dressed. Take off the works of darkness. Put on the armor of light. Dress yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ, he says. His picture is that while we have been spiritually asleep, we've been wearing for a long time some very threadbare, stinky old bedclothes. He points to some of the ugly rags worn by some of us sleepers of the world. On his list is excess, drunkenness, immorality, indecency, quarreling, envy. We could add to the list. I've got lots to add to mine. It's really striking to me, though, that in addressing our need to live more awakened lives, Paul does not introduce the subject of spiritual disciplines. He doesn't talk about prayer or mindfulness or meditation, getting ourselves closer in relationship to God. The language isn't like that. The language is essentially, quit the behaviors and the attitudes and the actions that are doing you harm and doing others harm. Just stop that. Stacy says, get dressed. I would have started with something more spiritual. Paul says, there are behaviors and attitudes in your life that if you'll begin to lay them aside, awakening will have a better chance in you. You know what they are. For you, you know. Ask for what help is needed. Turn away from that and toward new ways, which is now what Paul says. put on the clothes that really could be called the armor of light. He again refers to the new clothes as putting on Jesus Christ himself. Your new clothes are made of light, the beautiful light of kindness, truthfulness, openness, courage, generosity, faithfulness, patience, love, forgiveness. Try wearing those on your life like a garment of light. Did you know that in some of the earliest churches, when someone was being baptized, their old clothing and jewelry were removed, and the water was entered, and the baptism administered. And then the person was clothed in a clean new garment, a bright one. It's a wonderful picture of what baptism signifies. And it is a wonderful picture of what can be experienced over and over in a life that's on its way to the truest awakening. All of this happens when the night is still dark. This talk of waking up and putting on new clothes isn't about charging out into the light. It's about living in hope. Night is not finished at all. It's just far spent. What light we have is the light Christ has been clothing us with. Christ we see others clothed also in. It is not day. It's plenty dark, but it will be day, and it's time to awaken. Carl Sandburg has a poem called Awakened, which paints the picture well. Daybreak comes first in thin splinters shimmering. Neither is the day here nor the night gone. Night is getting ready to go. And day whispers, soon, now, soon. Have you heard of the dawn chorus? Scientists came up with that term to describe what birds do as the night is nearing its end and daybreak is about to come. One or two birds only are the beginning of it. It doesn't start all at once. But after one or two or three have become, the chirping and the singing swell to a chorus of welcome of a new day soon to begin. And this is who we are. This is how we live. When the night is far spent and the dawn is near, we lift our voices and our lives to join a dawn chorus, a song of those who are being awakened by love, clothed in light and ready to say, in spite of much of the evidence, ready to say to each other and to the world, good morning. There is so much, so much, so much in us, as yet untapped, as yet unreached, as yet unoffered. Every time we worship together, an opportunity is given for us to offer who we are one more time, to offer what we have one more time as new beginning of all that remains to be offered in the days given to us. Let us awaken to every opportunity given to offer what is ours to give.
Come, O God, we love.
good morning. And may the peace of Christ be with you. Dear friends, Christ is coming, and all creation waits.
Go into the world with gladness and hope, for he comes.
Prepare the way of the Lord.
Lay aside dark things.
Clothe yourselves in light.
Keep awake.
Keep faith.
For the light shines in darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it. Come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Amen.